Praise the Lord. Well, it's doing good. Now, we've been looking not at full messages, but an overview of end times. And we've looked at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We looked last time at how and when, not specific dates, but how and when the Lord is coming back again. And today, and in the new year, we're going to look at some mysteries that have been revealed. You know, the New Testament reveals to us a lot of mysteries, and several mysteries, which were hidden from the Old Testament prophets. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 13, 11 and 17. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." You know, when Old Testament prophets wrote, it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't always understand what they were writing down. Remember in Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said," that's the Lord, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the end of time." See, Daniel had seen a vision. Daniel had heard the Lord speaking to him. And Daniel had obeyed. He'd wrote down the words that he was given. But then the Lord says, "No, close up the book. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Close it up." Because the vision was for a time at the end. But many of the mysteries hidden from the Old Testament prophets have been revealed. Remember, Jesus taught his disciples concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He taught them in parables where he compared the kingdom of heaven to the sower, to the tares amongst the wheat, the mustard seed. They're just a few, and he explained those to them. Paul, he was another. He was given the privilege to understand the mystery of the New Testament church. Now in Ephesians 3, 1 to 12, I won't read them all. That's up to you to look at those. But in verses 2 to 5, Paul spoke about the mystery. He said, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you would, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So things that were written down by the Old Testament prophets, they didn't really understand or know what they were writing about, but those mysteries have been revealed, many of them, during the New Testament, during this age of grace. In fact, when you study prophecy, you will find yourself mainly in the Old Testament, because that's where most of the prophecies were written down. Now John, he was another one. He was on the Isle of Patmos, and what was given to him was the Revelation, the book of Revelation, in which God revealed many things up until that moment that had not been made very plain. So it is that many things concerning the times and seasons, the nearness of the Lord's return to the earth, we have a greater understanding than the Old Testament prophets. Now this church age that we're in is very soon going to finish, and it will finish with the rapture of the church when Jesus catches away his bride. And that's very soon. We've only got to look around us and compare with Scripture, and we can see how close that is. Now, when this happens, the last week of years in Daniel's 70 weeks will start. Now, Daniel 9:27 says, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." the he referred here is not the real Messiah, but the false Messiah. The counterfeit Christ, we know him as the Antichrist, the man of sin. He's the little horn of Daniel's chapter 7 and 8. And this he is the prince that shall come in Daniel 9:26. And when the Antichrist makes his covenant with the Jews in Palestine, he'll let them rebuild their temple. They'll restore temple worship. And they will be allowed to offer sacrifices just as they did in the old days, until around half of that time is taken up and has gone, and the man of sin will break that covenant with the Jews, and Daniel 12:11 will be fulfilled, where it says, "And from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make desolate shall set up, and there shall be 1,290 days." Now Paul, he speaks to us of this in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, and we'll read them a little bit later, but that's the man of sin being revealed, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And Daniel 9:27 deals with those last 3.5 years of the 70th week, which is yet to be fulfilled. Now Revelation 3:10 tells us the great tribulation is the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now that time, that will be the reign of the Antichrist. He will be the last of what we would call a world dictator, and his power will run throughout the world, most of the world, nearly all of it, for a period of 7 years. The first 3.5 will be a false peace. The last 3.5, a complete time of terror. I was sort of adding up the size of the hailstones that are going to fall upon this earth. Does anyone here remember the old bags of concrete? They used to be about 110 kilos, and they stopped them to the little bags, which are only 40 or 50 now. Well, those old bags of concrete are the size of the hail. So can you imagine them falling from heaven? Blocks of ice that big, it'd be incredible. We won't be here, amen. But it'll be amazing. You wouldn't be able to believe it. Now, his reign, you know, it is going to be something that, when we look at the world around us today, we can see that the masses of people are ready for his appearing. The world is just set up for it. They're ready. See, everything the Word of God says to you about God's program and plan for the ages is true, and it's real, and it's just unfolding like a storybook, which it is. But it's not a make-believe story. This is the truth. This is the truth. I remember studying prophecy in Bible college, and we started with the minor prophets. We went through to the major prophets, and the pastor there, Pastor Jukita, he said, "Look, just hang in there, because when we get to the book of Daniel, it'll be like a picture show." And when we got to the book of Daniel, it was just like unveiled all the truths of what's going to happen. But this Antichrist will not be revealed until the church is with the Lord in the air. We won't be here, amen, for that one. Nowhere are believers told to look for the Antichrist. And the problem with many believers today, they're so excited about the tribulation. I talk with them and they're so excited. I'm like, man, who'd want to be here in this? There's nothing exciting about the tribulation. Nothing at all. It's a time of terror and horror. Now, we're to look for the Christ, not the Antichrist. We're not to be taken up with those things to such a point where we seem to be excited about them. It's almost as people are happy about the great tribulation to come. It's not a nice time at all. See, we're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour. It's an interesting fact. But it's true, the church has never been called to convert the world. the purpose of the church on earth is to make disciples of all men and to preach the gospel. There is no scripture to back up a man-made doctrine that the righteousness in this world will eventually prevail and that the church will win the world to Jesus and then the kingdom of righteousness comes upon earth. There's no truth to that at all. In fact, Matthew 24:12 tells us, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Jesus asked a question in Luke 18:8. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find peace on the earth?" He asked that question. 2 Timothy 3:13 answers that for us. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Brothers and sisters, we should be having a good close look at the prophecies in the Bible to see where we are at this time and stage in our lives. Because God's word tells us that the world is going to get worse, not better. In fact, you know, read 2 Timothy 3, 1-12, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. You know, until Jesus rules from the throne of David in Jerusalem, God is never going to compromise with man. He's not going to get up one day and say, "Okay, I think man's had enough. We'll just sort it out from here." No, what's written in his word will come through right to the end. But as things get worse, God will destroy the kingdom of men by the crushing blow. Daniel 2:34 and 35 tells us of the stone. "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now John describes this for us in Revelation 19:11-21. Again, I'll just read a few verses starting at verse 13. "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now there is a time to come where there will be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. But that will not come because man gets better and better. It will not come because of any program that man has for this world. And we see every Christmas, what does this world talk about? Peace on earth and goodwill to men. But that's not the program of God until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with his church and rules and reigns from the throne of David in Jerusalem for that 1,000 years. And we'll be ruling with him. Isn't that going to be a blessing? You know, honestly, study it and you'll see, man, who could get excited about the tribulation? It's going to be a terrible time. Man is never going to make this place better. In fact, you look at the decline, and you know, I've spoken about it with Peter and a few of the other men. You look 100 years ago and see how people acted and behaved. You know, even lost people had respect for the church. Then would barely run it down. People knew where they were going to do on Sunday. People would go to church. Even lost people. In fact, let alone the last 10 years, have a look at how far the world has fallen. You know, man has always been looking for the place of peace and security. In fact, they're looking for that utopia of bliss. And when the Antichrist comes on the world scene, he's going to bring a false sense of all of that security and bliss to the world. And once again, the masses and masses of people will believe that he is the Savior of the world. You know, we had a wonderful blessing to see the children up here this morning. And I'd like to encourage all you parents that the effort and time put in, especially by the leaders and Sunday school teachers on your children, are setting them up for a world to come with the Savior, not against him. And when you allow your children to take part in Sunday school and kids club, you're doing the greatest good in the world. Now, when I was young, we didn't have ADHD children. I was just a naughty boy. That's all we were told. We were naughty boys. And I was put into Sunday school to be taught some lessons. And I had to do 60 Sundays, and I was a stubborn young fella. And they said, if you do 60 Sundays, you'll get a Bible at the end. And I said, well, I'm getting that Bible. And I forgot to bring it today. I still got it at home from 1967. 60 Sundays in a row. And once I got the Bible, that was it for me. I'd done my thing. And I went off, and as a teenager, wandering around in the streets, and that same church had a youth group. So we would call in there because there's a bit of fun going on. And then over the years, and just carried on. And then one day, I met my dear wife. I was actually going around the world, but she stopped that. I met her, and that was the end of that trip then. We eventually did together, but she got saved, and it wasn't long. All those seeds sown through Sunday school and kids clubs and youth groups, that they finally bore fruit, and I accepted the Lord as my Savior as well. But man is going to never make this place a better place. They will believe the Antichrist is the Savior. They will worship him as God. And as God's word foretells us all, that in the first 3.5 years of the Antichrist's reign, mankind will reach certain limits of a lofty type of height, the things that they have dreamed of. But the Antichrist, the devil in the flesh, a personality of power, and I want to share something with you, a personality of great wisdom and genius. He's not a fool. Revelation 13 tells us that he will perform miracles second only to those of Christ. He will deceive the multitudes, and for the first half of his reign, he will create a false sense of security, rest, and peace, that the last time it was found was in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. The man of sin will set up his throne in the temple of God in Jerusalem, and he will announce to all that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And through all his false promises, the first years will be prosperous, but in spite of his popularity and almost worldwide following, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in 2 Thessalonians again that the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Oh, what a incredible, incredible thing there is laying ahead of us. And we'll be coming with him. That's if you're born again, of course. If you're not born again, well, then you have the Antichrist to look forward to if you're not saved before the church is raptured. We will have a first-hand sight of a glorious, glorious victory of our Savior. Yeah, I always remembered a pastor telling me about this other pastor. He was preaching, and he always used to say, "Oh, I don't need any notes to preach. I don't need anything to preach." And the pastor said, "Oh, all right, as long as you're sure." He said, "The church is out there waiting to hear about this story of the end times when the Lord's coming." He said, "No, I don't need any notes to preach." And he got up there and he's preaching away and he's preaching away. And he got to the very point and all the people on the edge of their seat when the Lord was going to come. And he's, And there was an old lady at the front said, "Well, is he coming or not?" Listen, he's coming again. He's coming again. Without a doubt. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you, listen, men, are you preparing your family? Preparing your children? Giving them every opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in a knowledge of love and faith with him? It's just so important. And the devil has got the world thinking, "Oh, plenty of time. Plenty of time." Are you prepared for the next greatest event this world has ever seen, the rapture of the Lord's church? And you know, it's so close, you can almost taste it. Are you ready? Now, some of us are here maybe old enough. Do you remember the old children's birthday game, hide and seek? Remember that one? A person would go in a corner and count to 20 while everyone else went and hid away. And he had to say, or she had to say, certain words when they finished counting to 20. They used to say, "Ready or not, here I come." The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to this world today, "Ready or not, I am coming." Are you ready? Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us once again. I thank you for the people who have stayed back. This is great encouragement to me. And I know the messages are short, but Lord, they are filled with your wisdom. And it's our job and our duty to go home and expound on these. And we are grateful to you for the preciousness of your word to us, the great hope that we have of that glorious appearing of our Saviour. And even if we died before, Lord, we are told that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and our bodies will also be resurrected at that day, and we will all be together to meet you in the air. And Father, we are so, oh Lord, how can we even give thanks? It's just words are hard to describe the debt we owe, but we thank you for paying it for us. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.